Hi, Patrice, can you see me and hear me? Hi, Patrice, this is Raja. Can you hear me?
Hi,
Okay, good, good. I just want to make sure I started earlier so that we'll make sure that I'm in. So, okay, good. Thank you.
perfect. Thank you. We change the time to 6:50 instead of 7.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Vita. I always started a little bit early just in case people want to join in, but if I could get started.
Okay.
Alexa off.
Thank you.
It's good to see everyone. Let me mute myself again.
Hi, everyone.
Hola. How you guys doing?
Good.
So who, anyone went out to the casino so far? Did anyone go outside, check it out?
I've eaten out in restaurants, but not a casino yet.
Hello.
It was nice to see going out, you know? Hello, everyone. Hi there.
There's a lot of people outside. Again.
The first restaurant I went to was Grape Street in downtown Summerlin, and they were not practicing social distancing. It was packed.
Oh no, I went to Shanghai Taste, and we're tied at Shanghai Plaza to check to help some of the Asian restaurants out and make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
And tea and Fuku Burger went to see that. So
I went to Oishi. I went to one, what's that lunch? Something lunch in Shanghai Plaza.
Yummy box? A yummy rice?
No, next no? A little bit more further down, right next to the Japanese place.
Oh, that new.
Yeah, it's really good.
Pepper, something pepper or whatever.
Pepper lunch. There you go.
Yes, I haven't been there yet.
They're pretty good.
Okay, good. I'm gonna go check it out. Our center is gonna be open because we're at Shanghai Plaza. We're gonna be opening on June 15th.
Very good.
We'll be returning back to the office.
Good to hear.
The whole social distancing and all that masking and everything going on. So yeah, getting ready.
That's good.
Beatrice, where's our fearless leader?
saw she accepted the meeting. So I think she's still getting some.
Okay.
And
Antoine
as well. Long time no see, Beatrice.
Oh. No, I'm just here to facilitate.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. How about yourself?
Good. Thank you.
So are we missing our chair and co-chair?
Yep, chair and co-chair. I'm gonna text them. So see.
Where are you at? Where are you at?
I know.
Looks like Margie's having some technical issues, and I'm going to check in with Twan, so just give us one more minute.
Okay.
Just to let you know, you have to log on. The original one works, the update one doesn't work.
Yeah, the latest one works, correct?
No, the latest one does not work. I went back to the original one and got on.
Oh. Okay.
I use the original one too.
When you update it to the 6:50 time, that shows that it's not, there's no one there. So when I went back to your old one, then I got on.
Let me, thank you for that. That's helpful. Let me invite.
Bring the turkey. So you can bring Sunday. It's my birthday.
Where's the turkey?
It's in the fridge.
Oh, after the church.
No, right there.
Oh, here.
Here.
Oh, no. Yeah.
The fridge downstairs.
I have to take it off. I have to take it for what you love.
All right. Thank you.
And
there's no audience. Bye.
All right, so Margie's gonna be calling. Tuan, do you wanna wait for her or do you wanna start the meeting?
Alan Pastor, it's great to see you.
Good morning.
Pastor Alan and Rosita, can you hear us?
There's no audio.
Oh. We can hear you.
Okay, hello.
Yeah, both sides.
Okay, I don't see anyone, but I could hear.
I did a test with her on my phone.
Give us one more second. Pastor Alan and Rosita, we can hear you. Oh, they can't hear us at all. I think while we're figuring it out, they can, I'll figure it out with them and we can start Margie and Tuan.
Okay. Okay, good evening, everyone. I now call the meeting to order and I welcome you all to the Asian American Pacific Islanders Community Commission. And hold on. Tuan, could you please lead the Pledge of Allegiance? Oh, is Tuan in? Hello? Hello?
Yes, he's in. Let me check if he can hear us.
Can everybody hear me?
I can hear you.
We can hear you, Margie.
Okay, so anyway, I will lead it. Let's now do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America. One nation under God. Indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now let's do our roll call. I don't know, I'm not seeing anyone, but I'm just on the phone, just hear voices. Can you do it one by one? Beatrice, help me out.
I can do it, Margie, if you want. Let's go down the list. Jorinda? No. Arun Gupta? Jenny Kim? Emily? Peter Chanlin?
Yeah.
Alan Mallory? Mallory? I see him in there. Divya Narala?
Here.
Raja?
Yes, here.
Thank you. Rika Tamura?
Yep, I'm here.
Thank you. Sonia Fenuya?
Right here.
Craig Valdez?
Here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you. And Sharifa is not here. All right. Thank you.
Okay, let me also introduce our county staff. Secretary is Gloria Wells.
Hi!
And our community liaisons, Beatrice Martinez and Emily Nolan. Okay, before I proceed, let me just say it's good to have you back, Alan Mallory. Pastor Alan,
yep.
because he's been he was sick for a while. So good to have you back, and maybe everybody else. For those who do not know yet, it's Sharifa's turn now. She is recuperating in ICU, so that's why she's not with us. So maybe you could give say a prayer for her tonight. Okay. Yeah, Sharifa Wahab.
Oh, Sherry, okay.
Yeah. So now we would typically go to the first portion of the public comment. Due to the COVID-19, county closures are in effect, and this meeting is not being held in person. Anyone wishing to provide public comment must have emailed the county staff as indicated on the agenda by 4 p.m. today. All public comments received can be seen on our website right now, which I do not see, at clarkcountynv.gov. The public can listen to this meeting live by calling 408-418-9388, access code 965-402-400. This meeting is also being recorded and will be posted for the public as required by law. Okay. Let me also, I'll proceed to the approval of the minutes for May 13. 2020, yeah, meeting.
I motion to approve the minutes.
Do we have a motion to approve?
Rita Lynn here to approve the motion of the minute.
Okay.
I second it. I don't.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded for the approval of the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
Oh, thank you. Minutes been of May 13, 2020 approved. Now we have the approval of the agenda for tonight, June 10, 2020, and hold, combine, or delete any items. Do I hear, I need a motion to approve.
In here, I approve the agenda. Right.
Okay. Have a second.
Sunny Vinaya here. I second.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Who's approving the approval of the agenda? Approval of the agenda. Say aye.
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 Okay. Agenda for tonight has been approved. So we now go to the informational items, and. For tonight, we will receive a presentation on the historical background of the Clark County AAPICC, or the Asian American and Pacific Islander Community Commission, from a former member of the Asian American Community Commission. And I would like to introduce her. She's also the former White House Initiative AAPI representative for Nevada. A longtime AAPI leader in our state, in our county. I'd like to introduce to you Rosita Lee.
Yes, I was a member of the first Clark County Asian American Commission. As a matter of fact, I have the stationery that we use with names of all of the commissioners that we had then. I also have a few of the minutes of the meetings that we had. And the only thing that I don't have of the first commission is a completed report, because it was never completed. And that's why I was very adamant that we continue or reinstate the commission. This was a year ago, there were 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 of us that met, 9 Asian Americans that met with Beatrice and with Commissioner Tick Segerblum. And we talked to them about what we can do for the cultural center. And that was our focus. Our focus was to have a AAPI cultural center. And when Commissioner Chick Segerbloom said, you know, we need to connect with an entity with Clark County itself in order to make this happen. And so I reminded him about the Clark County Asian American Commission that we had way back in 1995. And that was something that his mother, the late Jean Segerbloom, had championed. And he said, oh yeah, that's right. I remember that. And so we talked about it some more, and Beatrice and the members of the Clark County staff tried to do research on it. Well, it was, we had to find that assembly bill, which was assembly bill number 525, and it stated that, and it was passed, by the way, we lobbied for it and it passed. In a county where population is 400,000 or more, the board or county may, by ordinance, create a commission to study Asian American communities. And let's see. And then the ordinance required that the board of commission was to appoint 15 members, appoint a member to serve as chair of the commission, appoint a member to serve as vice chair. The ordinance required the commission to identify various Asian American communities in the county and the population of each community identified with leaders and organizations of each community. We were also to identify social and economic needs of each community and Asian American communities in general. Research and document history of Asian American community identified by the commission and propose to legislative bodies the issues relating to the Asian American communities and for legislative and representative bodies to address the issues. We were not able to do that, and I'm hoping that this commission will be able to do that. There was a budget for the commission of $100,000, and that was to pay for an executive director and staff assistant, and then the study, that was to pay for the study of the Asian American communities, and this commission was to be effective July 1, 1995 to June 30, 1997. We never got the budget. That was never approved. And all that we got was $1,500, I believe. And that was to pay for a staff member. We did get the demographics through the 2010, no, the recently we got demographics to show the commission now, the current commission, why there is a need to reinstate the commission. I had sent all of the commissioners this study, the history. And so all of the commissioners have this history on hand. And I do believe that I had given it to some of you that were that had applied to run for a position on the commission. So be that as it may, let me say that the 9 people who had started this last year with Commissioner Tick Segerbloom and with Beatrice were Pastor Malari, Waylim Ong, Dorinda Burnett, Marge Gonzalez, Emily Higby, Mark Matsuo, Tuan Phan, Fayaz Raja, and myself. We spent several months talking about the need for a community center, because many of the communities were going to different entities to rent space so that they could hold their meetings and their functions. And we felt very strongly that if we had a centralized place, a centralized venue where all of our AAPIs could meet, it would be something that would be very helpful to all of the communities, where we would have a centralized building where the different ethnic groups could meet, and also where we could have the different agencies, government agencies, be available maybe once or twice a week, so that everything was centralized. The AAPI community to get the help that they needed, be it immigration or travel or whatever it is that was needed. So so that's why we said, and we talked to Tick about this, and Tick said, well, let us first get a commission, an entity in place with the county, and then from there, we will go forward. And so the focus has always been to have a community center. So the commission was then brought up, it was approved, thank you, Lord. And then we had asked everybody in the community to apply for one of the 15 positions. Now, we had quite a number of people that applied. Beatrice can tell you the exact number. And the 15 were chosen out of this group. I don't think, however, and that's just my humble opinion, that all of you understand what and why you are on the commission and what the role of the commission, your role on the commission is. And I think that's what the vice chair, Tuan Phan, is going to explain to you today. And it's so important that we stay focused. We stay focused on this central cultural center. Because if we lose focus on that, then this commission will be, again, a non-entity. This commission then would not have accomplished what you are mandated to do. So I'm really hoping that that all of you will stay focused on it, so that you would know exactly why you are on the commission. And I would be very happy to talk with each one of you if you have any questions. We tried, the first commission tried, but we didn't have the funds. We didn't have the staff actually to help us. Beatrice, and I will say this, Beatrice has been wonderful. And I commend her for the work that she has done with all of us, with all of you, and also the other staff members. Gloria, who is the assistant, administrative assistant to TIC, is fantastic. Thank you, Gloria, for what you are doing. And also the others that are very, very helpful. Now, you see me at the meetings because I really want this to be a success. I want this so that you all understand why you are a commissioner and what it is and what it means to be a commissioner. If you don't know by now, then I'm going to say, read again the do's, the don'ts, read again the whys of why we're having this commission. If you still are not too clear, give me a call. My number is 702-321-9708. Now, in the past, it was under, at that time, the county commissioner was Donald Shalmy. And he was very helpful. He was really very enthusiastic and helped us as much as he could. He wished that he could give us funding, but we could not get the funding. And we never had the executive director. But we can work towards that together as we all stay focused. And we can work towards that because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I am so upset that every time the AAPIs try to do something, they never give us funding. We don't get the funding. And I'm wondering why. I'm wondering why. And so you need to ask that question now. You're on, you know, you have a seat at the table. I'm there to help. I'm there to advise. I'm there to guide you. Let me tell you, we had some wonderful reports that were given in the past. We had the Chinatown Plaza. Many of you know that I helped with that and helped them with the county on that and in many aspects, getting everything done for them. And it was wonderful, wonderful working with James and built it up to what it is today. And I had reports from the different communities. For instance, we had reports from the Cambodian and several of the Chinese organizations. I don't know who amongst you is in charge of doing the Chinese community, but we have a written report and a narrative about the Chinese community. And we have all of the names of the different Chinese organizations. We have the Thai. And So we should already have that in place. I understand that all of you have been working on this since the inception of the commission. And if you have, that's wonderful. If you have not, please, please do so. I was very involved with the Vietnamese community as well. And I have the names of all of the community, Vietnamese community. And I even went to many of the organizational meetings. This is what I feel you all need to do, is you need to meet with your communities. If you have not, please arrange time to meet with your respective leaders in your communities, because that's the only way, by communication, 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 that you will get to know who they are, who the members are, what their needs are. Now, when you meet with them and you write down all of the needs that each community has, the Filipinos, the Hawaiians, the Pacific Islanders, I'm sorry, and then the Chinese, the Vietnamese, the Lao, the East Indian. Once you get that in place, then we can talk to the commissioners and explain to them why it is we need this community center, why it is that we need funding in the future to get many things done for our, because there are many needs for our communities. And I pray, and pray that this will come to fruition, because all of you are wonderful. I want to tell you congratulations to each one of you for being on the commission. But I would like to say that you need to be more active, because not too many people know who the commissioners are. And you need to be more active in your own communities. And I know that Dr. Lee has had meetings, had you not, Dr. Dan?
Yes.
Yes. And I hear about your meetings, which is great. And for all of you, if you have, and if you would like for me to attend, I'd be happy to attend. If you'd like for me to meet with you, I'd be happy to meet with you. We know that the Lord has a reason for all of us being together. You all were chosen for a purpose. And so with this in mind, I'd like to say that this cannot happen without God's help. It cannot happen without God's help. And I know that many of you will feel this once you get into this thing, truly committed to this project, that it will happen. And that's how I see it. I see it happening. And I think my time is up, Beatrice. But if I have a few more minutes, you let me know, and I can talk after Vice Chair Tuan speaks. If there's any questions, please ask.
Hello? Hi there, it's Arlene. I do have a question. I know you mentioned the Lao community. In that report, is there any information on the history? Because that report is still open, because they're still needing information on the history, and I don't want a double effort, so I definitely will be pulling up that report to reference. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure. The only one that I have a narrative on is the Filipino and also the Chinese. But then the one that was written by the Chinese is somebody from California. But Dr. Su Fan Chung has a complete history, and so we can rely on her report. She was a member of the commission. Any other question?
Rosita?
Yes.
The Chinese one, did that come from the Nevada Historical Society?
No, it did not.
I have that one.
No, it did not.
Okay. I have that one. It talks about when the first Chinese came in 1856.
Wonderful.
Rosita, this is Vida. I just sent something out last meeting we had in May, some articles of the Chinese groups and so forth. I don't know if that was posted or not.
No, actually everything has been going to Marge, the chair, and then Marge has been giving it to
the researchers. The researchers.
There are two people now that are working on the report, as I understand, and I will be meeting with them to give them all this information that I have.
So it your presentation, Manang Rosita, is really very clear on why all of us are here right now in this commission. Because I've always been hearing questions like, what are we supposed to do, to be doing, why are we here? So at least with that, they know now why we're here, you know. Even in the bylaws, although the bylaws ask the duties and tells us of our duties, I still get that question. But now it's everybody understands now the three phases of our work is the research, meaning the report, the feasibility study, and the resource conference. They're all actually interrelated. We're not doing the survey for the purpose of just having a survey. You know, it will actually lead us to the center. So, so thank you very much, Manang Rosita Lee, for clarifying and, you know, letting everybody know, especially those who are still in the dark. So, yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I do want to say, Chairman Marge, that the first commission, we had other community members participating and helping with the reports. It was not the burden of the commissioners, but we brought in people from the community to work with us. I don't know if this commission is doing that or not, but it would be helpful if that would be allowed that way. Because let me tell you, commissioners, the you're a commissioner not just once a month. You are a commissioner every single day, every single day. When you took on this position, it was not just for title. It was not just to be have your name somewhere for your resume. This is, you need to be dedicated to what the mission is for the commission. And that means working on it as often as you can. I know everybody works, but if you can set aside some time each week to meet with people within your communities, you will find that your work will be so much easier. And then too, you will find that you will accomplish what you need to accomplish.
May I comment on that too, that the work on each one of us doing the history, the population, organization, and leaders is actually a very good opportunity for each one of us to be in touch with our community members. You know, to interview people, to ask them, you know, about the history, and asking who the leaders are, what organizations you have, we have in our own community. That was a really good opportunity for each one of us to be connected to our community members.
Actually, all of you, it's fun. You've got to make it fun.
Rosita, can you give me your phone number again?
702-321-9708.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any more questions for Rosita Lee? Looks like that's it.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much again. And
you're welcome.
So now we go to the general business. And the first one is discuss the commission's research duties and feasibility study. Actually, the spokesperson for the group is Craig, would you like to say anything before I give an update?
Yeah, as a point of clarification, are we done with the research stage?
Okay, so This is now the update I would like to provide you as of the update that I provided you in the last meeting. First, the link, the survey link, that ended May 31st. So it is no longer live. We can no longer use it. So whatever was entered in that link has already been, it's stopped already. So the final result, the total number of collected responses is 373, of which 323 are completed. Incomplete is 50. Okay, now, please note that the researchers can only analyze the surveys that are complete, as they have all the information that are needed for the purpose of the report. Now, at this point, information from the 50 incomplete surveys will not be used for the final report. So the 373 actually is a combination of both the both paper and link. So last time there was I told you that the total was 323. So there was an increase of 298. So there was an increase of 25 since our last meeting. So and up to the time that the link was shut down. Ended. So that's my update to you. Any other question?
Auntie, I'm gonna add something on to that because I was not aware of the results of the survey. I think that what was the number 373 were the total number, 50 of which were not complete. So 323 completed responses, I think, is an absolutely poor number for us. And that means that, you know, we will have, I mean, as much as we are going to develop a research report, I think that, you know, everything that Auntie Rosita mentioned is absolutely true. And I know that the focus of the commission is heading towards building a community center. However, I have to state, and for the record, that I am worried that we may not receive the support that we are looking for, especially with a number, with this low number of respondents that we have, which is 323.
Yes, I agree.
Which also means that I think we will have to brainstorm further ways that, you know, we can make a compelling argument to the rest of the county commissioners as to why our future community center is needed in the community. And I think that they can't just trust our word for it. I think it'll require us to think about community leaders outside of our respective space who are willing to testify why this is needed. And so that's all I have to say.
Okay. Now, do you feel now that by understanding now the situation, it's good that Rosita Lee mentioned about the center, and now the result that we have, do you feel that we should still, you think we could have more respondents, more of us doing extra work and get some more respondents? Is everybody fired up?
I mean, as a response to that, Auntie, I think that, you know, I see ourselves presenting to the commission and the commissioners understanding that in the last 6 months or 5 months of outreach, we only received 373 responses. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I think the natural response to that is, well, due to COVID, we couldn't conduct the amount of the amount of outreach that we wanted. And of course, the language barrier poses a risk for our community as well. But I don't think reopening the survey and trying to get as many responses in the next, or at least through the rest of the month, is completely feasible. I think that we'll have to organize another way to make a compelling argument, which is why I believe we would need community testimony, you know, to support our backing for this community center. Yeah, does anyone else have thoughts on that?
Go ahead.
And I see the point. Yeah. Go ahead. What's that?
I think Aaron was going to say something. If not, I'll go ahead.
No, I was just going to suggest that instead of us going out there and asking for names and all that, why don't have allow the people to sign a petition wanting to have a the community center, and then from there we have a list and all that, which is files. We will have that. Then other than census testing them and say, look, you have to fill this out form and all that. No, we just have to have a signature that says this is our purpose. We will have a community center, and let them sign the community center form that has, you know, the signature. And that alone will be a stronger point in order for us to keep moving.
I agree on that too, because that could be also in addition to what we have done as far as the report is concerned. I think that would really be a very good addition to support what we are, you know, hoping to have.
Yeah, I agree with both of you, Craig, especially at this point. I don't think we should reopen the survey at this point. We got the results that we got. That's it. Let's go forward. But let's just back it up with, I like Pastor's suggestion, and then we can even get letters from community leaders stating the importance of that on behalf of their organizations.
Okay. So
I'd like to make a suggestion.
Uh-huh.
I suggest that we go back to our community leaders and invite them to the commission meeting and have them voice their desire and their needs and put that on record. That would allow them, I think, you know, having them come, give them an incentive that they can present themselves rather than just having a letter. And so... It basically allows them to be their leader that they are. And I think that may be an incentive for them to come.
Yeah, with the leaders, we will only get like 30, let's say, for example, 50 maximum. But we're having to have a petition of all the signatures that says, hey, I want, you know, with our letter, having to have the petition of, I want to have a community center for Asian because, and then they'll sign from that with the petition of all the people, which we will get more than 100 or, you know, whatever that account will be, at least a signature that will have the letter that we recommend and all that, rather than having, of course, just another letter that we have from backing from the leaders, but community leaders, you will only have like 20 letters, but having signature of the community, of the Asian, you know, I have this question, like, you know, this is in my head. You have Black Lives Matter. How about Asian Lives Matter? How about us? We need to be matter as well. And we have to have a voice. In order for us to have a voice, we start the community center. And then from there, we can voice out what we need. Because she said, we're not getting any funding. How is that? Because there's no say, there's no representation. So if we record or reward that letter in a way that says, you know, we want this community center and having to have representation of my community, da, 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 and have the people have a signed signature on top of it, that will have direct. And we don't have to have a signature, or we don't have to have a survey that will go out there and they don't even know what's going on.
I'm gonna.
I would like to comment on that, Pastor Allen, because in our duties, we really have to submit something where it says, you know, it says identify the various communities in the county, identify the population of each community, research and describe the history of each community, identify the leaders, you know, all those are in our duty. So we still need, really need to do all those. And which we've done that part. Maybe some exerted really a good effort in producing, being able to get respondents. Maybe some because of schedule or for whatever reason, we're not of the same, you know, the same degree of producing the number of respondents. So so that's why maybe with the with what Rosita Lee has presented, hopefully everybody will be fired up. Now we understand how important it is, you know, to do all this. So.
Can I quickly respond to Pastor Allen's point about the, you know, about involving a petition? First to your point about Black Lives Matter, I don't think that analogy is comparable to our situation. Okay. Black Lives Matter is more geared towards highlighting and understanding the injustices of Black people across the country, especially what has been particularly happening to Black communities and, you know, how they're being treated by our justice system as well as our government. I agree, though. I think that, you know, obviously during the time of COVID, right, I asked Margie that, you know, Asian Americans were facing large amounts of xenophobia and racism because of where COVID originated, and it originated from China. And as a result, people were treating Asian Americans very poorly. It was also part of, I believe, our duties to issue a statement of solidarity with the Asian community during that time. Granted, because we are the Asian Commission. Mm-hmm. Now, at a time when, like, you know, the Black community has been facing racial injustice across the country, we also did not issue a statement of solidarity for the Black community. And so I think that is also a place where we have failed. I know that we are and as, you know, Auntie Rosita mentioned, we are commissioners not once a month, we are commissioners all the time. So that being said, I think that, you know, there had been faults where we expected people to stand with us during the time of COVID when people were being racist towards our brothers and sisters. And then during the time of Black Lives Matter, we have not and still not have promoted or issued a statement of solidarity with our Black community. So I take issue with that. Now, in regards to a petition, I think that a petition is great. I know the Black Lives Matter movement has created a petition for numerous issues. But I think that, you know, first off, what will the petition look like? Is it going to be in a physical form or an electronic form? If it's an electronic form, then we'll have to, you know, I don't know, run this through the county, I'm sure, to make sure that the language is appropriate. And then I'm sure we'll have to think about how we're going to outreach electronically to reach the signatures that we need. But frankly, you know, we had 15 commissioners and only this is such a bad number, 373. You divide that by 15. Each of us only had 21 people sign or, you know, fill out a survey, let alone a petition that we are now asking people to sign. So I like the idea of a petition, although I think that there's got to be, again, some sort of compelling evidence or some sort of compelling argument that the commissioners will be absolutely won over by, in addition to the research that we are providing. I don't think our research alone is enough for the commissioners to approve some sort of a community center for us.
Yeah.
Can I jump in for a second, please? This is Tron. Well, first of all, I think that there is, under so many circumstances, that, you know, we show a poor result. I don't think we should blame ourselves though. First of all, some of us doesn't even know until probably recently that what our missions or our duties are. Secondly, it took so long to get the approval from the county to get the surveys out. And even with that, we still not know exactly how we approach the issues. And then, you know, we go into the COVID-19 and we are unable to communicate with the communities. However, I think that we are not using that as an excuse at all. So why don't we use that experience and from this point moving forward,
yes,
together and make sure that we complete our terms with some success. So let me say this. I mean, you know, I have a presentations to make, and hopefully that with that presentations, we're gonna focus and probably will make something happen. But as far as, you know, now we're talking about because of that, because of this, we, you know, show a poor report and we're not gonna get anywhere. I'm sure that even that we have a high rate of return, it's not necessary that we're going to have anything happen this term. So I think we have to use that as a positive things. We learn our mistake from this point moving forward, what we do to make sure that we accomplish something by the end of our term. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Duan. So now I know you have a presentation to do. So let me now, I'm sorry.
This is Vida. Can I make a comment? Madam Chair?
I'm sorry?
Can I make a comment? I do want to say something about this.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm listening to everybody talking about the survey. We talk about how many people we need and so forth to try to get the community center. It is clear that we've been talking about community center for, I've been in Las Vegas 25 years, and Rosita, you and I talked about that community center for 25 years, right? Uh-huh. The problem that I remember trying to set up, when I went to the commission, this is not our first time. And one of the pushback I got back was, if you have an Asian community center, what about the other ethnic group? What about the Black? Or what about the Latinos and so forth, right? So I got that pushback at that time. So seriously, when you want to open a center, the number one reason or number one thing that's holding us back from the center is money. It's funding for it, right? So we're trying to say, we're going to do this great report. We have a, you know, this petition and everybody signed it. We have this survey that everybody feel that we need this. Does that mean they're going to fund us to do the center? I don't know. So that was, that's something I'm just trying to tell. And without funding, we're not, they can't even fund all commissions. So I don't know how they're going to fund a center. So I just wanted to add that to everything.
Okay. So, okay, so I'm thinking that what I believe is that let's just do the three things that they, you know, they want us to do, which is, of course, the report, the feasibility study, and the resource conference. And we're done. Hopefully by June, we're done. So it's not like they're expecting a center to be built during our term. Of course, that will not happen. But the, what we will be accomplishing during our term will pave the way towards that direction. So thank you, Vida, for that. Is there anything else before I turn over the table to one? Okay, so to one. I turn over the table to you so you could do your presentation, which is the feasibility study, which is the second phase of our duties.
Well, thank you so much, Madam Chair. Well, first I'd like to thank you, Madam Rosita, that you remind us that, you know, our duty, what our duties are and the purpose of the commissions. And I thank you so much for that. I'd like to refer to anyone who's still not quite sure that what our duties are and what do we need to do. So I would like you to, I'd like to refer to the resolutions and duties that we have in our hand. and reread it. And if you have any questions, I'm sure that there's plenty of us that you can call and ask to see that if we can explain to you in detail. But for the purpose of this presentation today, I wanted to make clear that from this point moving forward, because that, you know, we formed the commissions for a few months. And, you know, as I said earlier, that we do not have a clue that how we're going to work together, what is the duties, and what things that we need to accomplish. But hopefully that, as I said earlier, that, you know, since we understand now what our duties are, and we're just trying to do the best that we possibly could. So the purpose of this present today is to call your attention to make sure that we will all focus on our next project. Together, we can have a productive terms that will expire next June. For us to prepare well, I would like to take this opportunity to explain our next duty, a significant duty of our commissions, which is the feasibility study and the resource conference that we will work on for the balance of the term. So just to be transparent, I am not an expert on this subject, which is the feasibility study. The reason I am familiar with it, because in the last 2.5 years, I happened to be on the project committees at my church, a 23,000 square foot multi-purpose parish hall projects. The committee was formed at Ground Zero 2.5 years ago. And I'm happy to announce that the constructions of our building will start next month in July. I am also a fundraising chair for the project, so that's why I am a little bit familiar with, you know, some of the things that I have done in the past 2.5 years. So as the name implies, a feasibility analysis or study is used to determine the viability of the idea, of an idea, such as assuring a project is justly and technically feasible, as well as economically justifiable. It tells us whether the project is worth the investment. In some cases, a project may not be doable, as some of us already doubted that if we could find out the money to build the center. So within the context of the study, there is four types of feasibility studies. These are the operational feasibility study, technical feasibility study, scheduled feasibility study, and economic feasibility study. I wish that I could do this one with a PowerPoint presentation so you can visually see it, but it's the way that I talk probably is very dry, but hopefully that, you know, you can bear with me. So within the context of the study, there are several steps, but I wanted to focus on a few steps, but actually they have 7 steps in the feasibility study. I will explain in more detail a little bit later. Step number one, conduct the preliminary analysis. This step is to define suitable measure, explaining why it makes sense and what other criteria we must have to consider. On the step two, we prepare the projected income statement. So that is probably the principal decisions that if we be able to build the center. Step number three is to conduct a market survey. The market survey is the survey research and analysis of the market for particular products or service. In our case, it is a service that we provide to the community. And that's with including the investigations into our community's inclinations. So step number four, that's the plan, business organization and operations. Step number five is to prepare an opening day balance sheet What is opening day balance sheet? The opening day balance sheet calculate total asset and liabilities on the first day of a business is open. In other words, is on the first day of, if we ever build the center, what is the balance sheet look like on that first day? So do we have enough to operate it, the center, or do we have enough income to operate it in the long run? Step number six is to review and analyze all of the data that we collect. And step number seven is, this is the bottom line. Make go or no-go decisions. In other words, after we compiling all of the data we receive, analyze all of the information that we have, and then we make a decision that if it is compelling to have it or not. So in our case, still the principle is that where do we find the money and how do we get the money to have the center? And even with, if we have the center, do we have enough income to support the center in the long run? So let's go in a little bit on the report itself. So the report normally have several components of it. First of all, the executive summary. So on the executive summary, we're going to talk about what kind of center infrastructure will best serve our AAPIC community and accommodate the future growth. Number two is improve, is it to improve Las Vegas vibrancy and vitality to make Las Vegas a place where people want to be? In other words, is that could that center attract as a model for other communities to model with, or maybe attract some more tourists to come to our city? So that's probably part of the executive summary that we have to understand, and we have to find out how do we attract and get the income or servicing the communities. So in the report itself, it's also have the need assessment. So on the need assessment, that we're gonna check to see that do we have a keen or absolute interest in building the center? Do we have the show of high demand potential for attendance based on the demographics and psychographics indicators? So that's part of the things that we already do on the survey, but probably that is not deep enough to get the interest. So as suggested earlier, probably that we need to have some town hall meetings, getting input from other people from each different communities, and those would probably help us to get those a consensus. Next one on the report that we need to do, the facility and site assessment. This one is have several components in there. You know, is it going to be a state-of-the-art multi-purpose center with flexible performance? Is the facility site selections and assessment that convenience to the communities? And what kind of amenities within the center itself? So that is the study that we need to study. And then it comes to the, again, the principal part of it, the business plan. So once the center is constructed, what is its primary revenue sources? The space revenue, possibly rental revenues, ancillary revenues for concessions and ticketing for any arts or any other type of theaters provided to the public that contribute the income to the center. And probably what about expenses, operation costs? And for that, we have to have what we call is a pro forma operating model, which is establishing the magnitude estimate of operation revenues and expenses. So the model shows that approximately, you know, how much we're gonna receive, how much is, you know, we're gonna spend through ticket sales, space rental, other ancillary income, and many other donations, contributions from the city or from other private sector, or any philanthropy or grant or other contributions. So next step, we're going to need to understand that and identify few things. Identify the project champions, a small group of influential decision makers who will carry the torch and advocate for project implementations. That if we study and we think that it is feasible, and then you know what are the steps that we need to take. So as I said earlier, we have to identify the project champions. We have to create a small group of people who are influential, help us to advocate for the project. We probably need to form a nonprofit support organizations to support the project, advocating the project in the community and lead capital fundraising efforts and relationship with AAPI community and audience. We need to identify the site and evaluate in detail the ability to accommodate the center and all the needs that provided by the center. Then we probably have to complete the concept design to develop a building concept and refine the building program outline in the study to respond to the specific location, adjacency, whether the new building project or a mixed use or a reuse buildings. This process would help create a vision for the building as well as refine capital cost estimate. The business plan would also update to respond any change in activities or operation influenced by the design. And then we test the fundraising feasibility using the developed concept design and business plan as provisional case for support. This study would establish the level of philanthropic support that could be expected for both capital and operations. So we have done this one a little bit myself, and I think I spoke with some of the commissioner that you know we have to identify a list of people that hopefully that you know we can identify some of the people may support in this, and they are probably the donors in the last amount of money. And then we have a study of a methodology. This study works as a structural was structured in the three phases. Number one is a need assessment to determine if the center is needed. If so, what kind of facility would address the need of in our community? And number two, a facility site analysis to determine the size, cost, and locations of such a facility. And finally, a business plan outlining the facility operations and finance, as well as the next step for the project implementation. So again, the key is the funding source. The center will require a substantial capital investment as well as ongoing operation support. Where is the money coming from? Is it coming from the county, the state, private donor, or private support from a variety of channels? So probably it could be all of them. For donors to receive a charitable deduction, the county would need to partner with a 501c3. We probably call it friends of the center or friends of the AAPI, and set up a nonprofit to establish for the purpose of the building itself, a philanthropic support for the center constructions and program. So we need to identify those. Philanthropy in the regions need to secure, and many regional nonprofits are planning or undertaking major campaign. High net worth individual that need tax deductions, we need to identify those people. And that's plenty, I can tell you there's plenty of them.
based on my work in the last 2.5-3 years, we were able to successfully get it because we identify people that, you know, they need to donate the donations for tax purpose. And if we look hard, we will find some. So then we, the foundation, which fund capital project driven by municipality and then corporate support for capital and operations that can come through a variety of channels. So in conclusions, there's a lot of work. You know, it's easy to say, it's easy to go through all of those, but at least that we understand, as I said in the beginning, hopefully that you see the complexity of the work. We need to start working now, and we need to continue to work, not like, you know, every single month that we have one meeting, but we almost have to open our ears, open our eyes, and look for things that, you know, to make a contribution into the project. So in conclusions, I said that this feasibility study is very, very complex and very hard. I don't know that if we're capable of doing it ourselves. I think if we can put together our talents, we probably come up with something, but we still need to have help from the professionals, meaning that if I know someone that it could be contributed the times, and if all of us, the 15 of us, be able to find someone who make a contributions outside and make a contribution into the projects, I think, you know, we could make some legitimate success. So again, we may need to revisit this one again in our next meetings. As I mentioned, it is best to visualize the concept if it can be presented on a PowerPoint presentations. Hopefully that it will be more helpful to you. So for that, I think that is my the part that I just wanted to present it to you, and hopefully that if you have any comments or anything, that, you know, let's work together, and at least that we can produce something that our next commissions or someone will take over and then make the wish become reality. Thank you. I don't know if you have any comment or questions. If I can answer.
Good job.
Thank you very much, Suwan. That was great.
Very high level.
Yes, very good. As Rosita Lee mentioned earlier, that we have started talking about the center like a year ago, or last year. I happen to know that Commissioner Pastor Allen actually has some kind of a presentation or a feasibility presentation. Maybe that is something that could also be added to if you're going to present this again in the next meeting, and hopefully maybe we'll be already in person, we'll be meeting in person. What Tuwan presented, maybe the one with Pastor Allen could also be included. Is Pastor Allen still in the meeting? Okay.
I think that, you know, if someone helped me to work on the PowerPoint presentations, I think that it's, yes, get excited when you know what you do. Otherwise, that, you know, yes, you know, like we had, you know, in the past few months. The reason we're producing a good numbers because, you know, everyone not quite understand that what's our goals are and what do we need to accomplish. But if everyone understand exactly what we're going to do, and I'm sure that, and I see that, you know, the 15 of us, I think everyone want to make a contribution. So hopefully that, you know, we'll be able to doing something at least that to present some work that the next commission be able to use, or at least that some model that we can continue to work on.
Okay. Thank you again, Tuan. So yeah, we would like to really see that again when we meet in person. And hopefully the one also of the one done by Pastor Allen. Hopefully we could calendar both in the next meeting.
Maybe I just wanted to edit this one, so to encourage everyone. When I started projects with my church, we have $0.
Uh-huh.
1,000 square foot multi-purpose building is not cheap. I'm not going to give you the number, but I'm talking about multi-million dollars. We have zero. Uh-huh. We have zero. And we have no clue what we're going to do. But, you know, everyone, if you have the wills,
yeah,
it can happen. This commission's everyone thinking that, you know, we're not going to be able to accomplish it. But trust me, I mean, you know, if we put our heads together, something going to happen. And it may not happen within the next couple of years, but it will happen. So yeah, please do not discourage that, you know, we work against the tide, we work against the wind. But, you know, if we put our head together, it's we're gonna make some noise.
Any comment, any question?
This is Nita, I do. And Tuan, I'm gonna tell you, I am so impressed with the church that you guys set up. You guys did a fabulous job. So I can see that your presentation, the reason why it came out is because of this presentation that you have. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Vida. You know, at the time, I think we didn't even have the room to build. So, and then the neighbors, the piece of land that we purchased, it only cost about $350,000. But you know how much we end up paying? Almost $1 million, because she knows that we need it. But we finally acquiring it, you know, with the price that she required. So we almost pay $1 million on less than an acre of land. But well, thank you. But you know, there's also I wanted to get back to Madam Rosita said earlier, if you have the will and if God is on your side, you probably be accomplishing something that you only want. So thank you. Thank you.
I agree.
And I suggest for those who has not visited his the church that he's talking about, you guys should see it, because I was just completely blown away. So thank you for inviting me.
Okay. Anything, any other comments?
Hi, Ms. Marta. Okay. Hi, Chair, Ms. Chair, Madam Chair, it's Arlene. I just want to raise a question just to pick everyone's kind of brain, just off the top of everyone's head. Are there any commissions out there that have already been successful in doing the same thing that we're trying to accomplish that we could possibly build a partnership with or reach out to see if they could provide us some tips for the path with least resistance?
You mean is there any building or is that what you're trying to say, that there's a project? As Vida mentioned, I think the perfect example is Tuan's church.
I meant a county commission.
Oh, a county commission.
A county commission only, who went through the process already that we're going through right now.
Madam Chair, I can speak to that. This is Beatrice. We do not have buildings like that. We usually build rec centers. I think I also did want to make a comment. Jorinda had mentioned a couple of meetings ago, there is a similar building, I think in Arizona, that is, I think was built with various types of funds. So there's nothing in Clark County, but in terms of looking at something similar, I would
I'm just referencing Dorinda's comment. When she's back, I think maybe it would be worth a discussion to have with her.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Beatrice.
But can I make a quick comment? Now, the city of Las Vegas did give Savi a space at the Lorenzi Park area. So she did have it. They gave her a lease for a daughter a year, and she leased it. But keeping the upkeeping on it, and Twan, I think you hit the point, is one thing to open that area and open the center, but to keep it every year, what kind of income can you, what kind of overhead that you can pay to keep that center open every year? That was difficult. And I think also another one is Calvin from the Chinese group. He also had a space that was given to him for a daughter a year to lease. Usually the spaces that they were given was really a not desirable area, and a lot of the community would not go to because it's, they don't feel safe or they don't feel comfortable, right? So something like that has happened. So that's for the city, just to let you know.
Okay. I also would like to add something. The city of Denver has an AAPI commission. I spoke to a former member today. His name is William Chan. He said he'd be willing to talk to us, but their focus is not on building a community center. Their focus is on advising the city council on all matters related to AAPI. So their focus on like policy, I sent this to Margie already. You remember Margie, I wasn't sure if you told everyone, but I sent a report to Margie last time. They did do a report similar to us, and they did do a resource fair similar to us. And so I think it'd be good to hear from Will to talk to us about what went right, what went wrong for them.
I actually discussed that I shared that with Rosita Lee. She will be doing a presentation. Yeah, she got that. And I know Hawaii has an Asian center, right?
Marjorie, that was the one I was referring to in Arizona.
Okay. Okay, anything else? Anybody else? Okay, looks like that's it. Supposedly, the next two would be the commission's fundraising efforts and finances, followed by the commission's public relations, media, and events. I know they gave their time for the presentation of 2-1, but I would like to hear from them. Let's hear from Sunny, or as you are the spokesperson for the fundraising efforts and finances.
No updates at this time, so I yielded my time to Tuan. Thank you.
Okay. Rika, or the Public Relations, Media, and Events team?
No updates at this time. Same thing. Gave my time for Tuan to give the presentation.
Okay. Thank you both. Now, as far as the timeline is concerned, it's still the same thing. We're in. We are supposed to hold the resource conference by January 2021. So that's still our timeline of consistency, the one that we all approved. And so now we go to the next one, the comments by the general public.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I make a comment just for clarifying purposes under the timeline of the commission's duties? I think this is the.
Okay.
Thank you. So, just a heads up, the county has been trying to limit the amount of people in the building, as well as we repurpose a couple of rooms. We will be continuing to have this meeting virtually for July and August, and anticipate coming back, you know. Hoping that everything continues in an upward trajectory and downward trajectory for COVID cases. Anticipate going back in our room in September. So for the comments made and presentations, we can certainly do a PowerPoint presentation via this forum, and I'm happy to assist anyone. It's a screen sharing feature that we can do if you delay that. If you want to do a PowerPoint presentation as soon as next meeting, we can absolutely do that. And something else, just want to remind, the only thing that has a timeline for the county's purposes is the report. Everything else is up to the commission. You can see that there's more traction in the feasibility study over the conference fair or the resource fair, then you can switch. That's completely up to the commission. And then just want to remind everyone, any board member can request an agenda item. We of course will include the chair and vice chair, but if someone wants to bring up a presentation from another entity, they can certainly do so as long as it's relating to the duties of the commission. Just email staff, and then I would recommend CCing the chair and vice chair. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Beatrice. Okay, so now we go to the last part of this meeting, which is the comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the commission's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please, okay, so this will not apply. So clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the commission wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chair or the commission by majority vote. If you do not wish to attend the meeting in person but would like to provide written general public comments on an item not appearing on this agenda but within jurisdiction of this body, please submit your comments via email. Oh, sorry. We'll go first to the comments. This is to be the last words. So comments by the general public, now open.
Madam Chair, this is Vida from the Asian Community Development Council. Can I make a public announcement?
Sure.
Okay, so the presidential town hall is gonna be held on June 27th at 1 p.m. It's gonna be done virtually. Originally, it was gonna be done at the Caesars Coliseum, but because of the COVID-19, it is now gonna be done virtually. What they is the API vote, Christine Chen puts that together every 4 years, is a nonpartisan where she brings all the president to meet with the Asian community to talk about what's important for our community. So I'm gonna see if I can, if I'm savvy enough to share this post. So I'm gonna see share content, if I can do this. Boom. Can you see it? I can't believe I did that. So anyway, if anyone wants to,
we can see it.
Let me know. Also, if you want your name to be added to the flyer, please let me know. There's a not. Please don't let me know. But there's actually a link that I can send you to add your group to be part of this event too. So we would love as much local Asian groups to be part of this, because this is done every 4 years. And Christine Chen put a lot of work in DC to put this together every 4 years to make sure that the candidate meet with us to talk about our needs for our community. And everybody know, to have our voice when we fill out the census for our community is important, but also to vote. That will show numbers and power. So I just want to say that. Thank you.
Will you send instructions how to join?
I'm sorry, what was
everybody else?
Would you be sending instructions how to join the town hall?
I can send an email, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I gotta figure out how to get off of this.
Anybody else? Any other comments?
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes. Tuan?
Yes, I wish to make a comment, please.
Sure, go ahead. 3 minutes.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Tuan Pham, T-U-A-N, last name P-H-A-M, of Henderson, Nevada. As a fellow members of our Asian community in Las Vegas, I ask for your support and to request that the commissions take actions to avoid discriminatory practice against college admission for our Asian students. Recently, on May 21st, 2020, State Attorney General Aaron Ford, in the name of diversity, signed on to an amicus brief in support of Harvard University practice of downgrading Asian applicants based on their race. Harvard admitted that it gave each applicant a personal rating, supposedly based on social characteristic. A lower score means a lower chance of being accepted. It turned out that Harvard systematically rated Asian applicants much lower than non-Asian. One question often asked is about the impact of education on business growth and opportunities. I am not talking about specific entrepreneurship or even business education, but education in general. A successful career or better business opportunity depends on educational attainment. And then there is a question of the impact of this discriminatory actions upon our Asian community. Is there any good reason to review gender, race, or other potentially discriminatory characteristics within the context of the applications as a whole? If not, strictly avoid doing so. The admission process should be based on merits of the applicants rather than race. As a concerned member of the Asian community, I urge the commissions to join me today in protesting against this discriminatory act. I ask the commission to also join me requesting the Attorney General retract his actions as a measure to reunite members of all races in the state of Nevada. Thank you so much.
Okay, 3 minutes. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Any other?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Daniel Lee.
Okay, Daniel, go ahead.
Okay, my name is Dr. Daniel Lee, spelled L-E-E, and I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. Nevada Attorney General Aaron Ford, on behalf of the state, signed an emeritus brief supporting Harvard University's practice of downgrading Asian applicants based on their race. This action is an act of severe discrimination against the Asian American community in America. In 2014, the organization Students for Fair Admissions filed a lawsuit in the Federal District Court of Massachusetts against Harvard University, claiming that Harvard discriminates against Asian American applicants. On October 1st, 2019, the judge in the lawsuit rejected the plaintiff's claims, ruling that Harvard's admission practices met constitutional requirements and do not discriminate against Asian Americans. In February 2020, the same group filed an appeal in the First Circuit Court of Appeals. It is expected that the decision will likely reach the United States Supreme Court. In a lawsuit, plaintiffs allege that Harvard imposes a soft racial quota, which keeps the numbers of Asian Americans artificially low. The percentage of Asians admitted to Harvard was suspiciously similar year after year, despite dramatic increases in the number of Asian applicants and the size of America's Asian population. During the proceedings, it was revealed that Harvard consistently rated Asian American applicants lower than others on traits like positive personality, likability, courage, kindness, and being widely respected. Asian Americans scored higher than applicants of any other racial or ethnic group on other admission measures like test scores, grades, and extracurricular activities, but the students' personal ratings significantly dragged down your admission chances. Alumni interviewers gave Asian Americans personal ratings comparable to white applicants. But Harvard's admission office gave Asians the worst scores of any racial group. On May 15, 2015, the coalition of more than 60 Asian American organizations filed federal complaints with the United States Department of Education and Department of Justice against Harvard University. Coalition asked for a civil rights investigation into what is described as Harvard's discriminatory admission practices against Asian American applicants. According to the complaints, multiple studies have indicated that Harvard has engaged in systematic and continuous discrimination against Asian Americans in its subjective, holistic college admission process. They say Asian Americans applicants with near perfect test scores, top 1% grade point averages, academic awards, and leadership positions are unjustifiably rejected by Harvard. The discriminatory practices Harvard is alleged to have used included racial stereotypes, racial differentiated standards, and de facto racial quotas.
Daniel, your 3 minutes up. Would you like to wrap up? I'll give you 10 more seconds.
Yes. So this is a nonpartisan issue and is the merit issue based on falsely race. I am asking the AAPI Commission to urge the Nevada Attorney General to retract his briefs. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, so our next meeting date would be, July 8, 2020. And as Beatrice has mentioned, it will still be a virtual meeting.
Correct.
Okay, virtual meeting, July 8, 2020. So just, keep on watching your email to find the invite of Beatrice. Thank you so much, Beatrice, for assisting us tonight. Thank you, Gloria. Also, Emily's not with us, right? Tonight.
Okay. Yes.
So, okay. So, thank you, everyone. Have a good evening. The meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you, Margie.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
And good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay, let's go eat.
Hungry.